I hear the sound of your voice. All at once it's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming.
Well, as I alluded to, I'd like to begin this morning with a passage of scripture that's very familiar. And I'm sure we've all heard many messages preached on this passage of scripture. And I have good news for you this morning. You're going to hear another one. The passage of scripture is John chapter 15. And if you want to follow along with me in whatever translation you have, I'm reading from the New Living translation. Beginning at verse 1, he says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. And he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Other translations use the word abide. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches, and those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. And such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And this brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. And so remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Poet wrote the words, how do I love thee? Let me count the ways. And he begins to enumerate the ways. I've always been struck by those who felt like they had to be laboring for the Lord in order to meet his high standards to earn or to merit his love for them. And yet Jesus gave us a very clear picture of what our love relationship with him should look like. He is the vine. He is the source of all life. We are the branches. We are the place that fruit is produced. And as we receive life from him, the natural, inevitable result of a healthy relationship between us and God is the production of fruit. Try to picture, if you could, an apple tree or an orange tree or a grapevine. And those little buds that appear saying, I got to be an apple, or I'm going to be an orange, or I'm going to be a cluster of grapes. I'm really trying hard. That doesn't happen. They just abide in the vine, in the branch, and it's connected. And because of that, the life flows through them and fruit is produced. You see, our problem comes when our effort and our attention is given to fruit production instead of to abiding in the vine. I'm not saying we shouldn't produce fruit. I'm just saying that our focus should be abiding in the vine. Now, some may feel like abiding in the vine or remaining in him is just not productive enough. Or it takes too much time away from producing if we spend time with him. And so we have to be reminded from time to time that Jesus said, it's not our activity that produces, but rather it's our relationship that produces. I'm always struck by the fact that God created mankind, in his creative process to have fellowship with him. He created all the other things that we have in the universe. They were all put together, and then God said, I want to create someone like me. I want to create someone in my image. I want to create someone that I can have fellowship with. And so he created man. Man who was created in the image of God to have fellowship with him. And it said God would come in the cool of the afternoon and would meet with them in the garden until man decided to take things into his own hands and change the terms. Imagine the fact that God created us not out of need, but out of desire, because he wanted us. Wanted our fellowship. As I go through the scriptures, I see the same thing taking place. And when God delivered Israel out of Egyptian bondage in the 19th chapter of Exodus, it was not to make Israel a mighty warrior nation. They were far from it. God repeatedly won battles for the nation of Israel against insurmountable odds. They could never have won a battle based upon their own ability. But God made them able. God brought about victories for them. God delivered them, and he gave them a land where they could be free to love and to worship him without fear or restrictions. They could just worship him. They could remain in him. They could abide in him as a nation. And in that process of abiding in him, he enabled them to win wars, and he enabled idolatrous nations around them to be defeated. And God accomplished that as long as they were remaining in him. And we know what happened when they chose to ignore that and began to do things their own way. Didn't work out well for them. Jesus gave us a perfect illustration. In the 10th chapter of Luke chapter 10, very familiar story, beginning at verse 38. Says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. And she came to Jesus and she said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me. But the Lord said to her, and I can just kind of picture him saying, Martha, Martha, Martha. You're so busy, but Mary has chosen the better way. Don't take that from her. And he probably added, why don't you come and just sit here with us for a while? I have no doubt that Martha loved Jesus dearly. But her struggle came in the fact that she was not able just to be still with him instead of being busy for him. Psalm 46:10 reminds us to be still and know God. It says, be still and know that he is God, but be still and know God. And I wonder how many Christians who have been Christians for years don't really know God because they haven't taken the time to be still and just be with Him. Maybe it's because they're so busy just doing stuff for Him. Her service, even though it started out for the right reason, she was grateful. She wanted to be a service. Deteriorated into frustration and anger and resentment. And any time our activity, no matter how good it is, takes away from the time to abide with Him, to fellowship with Him, that activity is less than what He pictured to His disciples was necessary. I know, I've been there. Pastoring a church in New York and Syracuse, God gave tremendous blessings on the ministry of that church. And in a period of about 2.5 years, we went from 65 people to over 250, and we're ministering to almost 400 people in the city of Syracuse in Bible studies throughout the city during the week. And all of that, it happened so fast, and we're working so hard trying to keep up with everything and keep up with all the new people and make contacts and do all of that. And one day I was in the office, and the Lord said, Ken, you need to slow down. I've been missing you. I've been missing our time together. There was that reminder from the Lord, you need to abide in me. You need to remain in me. You need to spend time with me. Yeah, I'll take care of the growth out here. Just take care of what is important. There's one more story that let me share with you. It comes out of the fourth chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 4. In the third chapter of Acts, a lame man has been healed. Peter and John were on their way to the temple. And this was a man who had been brought to the gates of the temple every day for a good portion of his life, I'm sure. And so everybody knew him. Oh, yeah, he's the lame guy, you know. And all of a sudden, here he is walking and leaping and praising the Lord, and something like that gathers a crowd. And not to waste a good crowd, Peter and John began to tell him what had happened and why it happened and how it happened. And they were preaching and teaching the crowd about Jesus and about His resurrection from the dead. And the Scripture says many were believing. It even goes so far as to say that the number of believers that were being won to the Lord was now up to about 5,000. And that upset the priests and the Sadducees and the temple guard. And so they had them arrested. They jailed them for overnight. And the next day, they interviewed them. I put interviewed in quotation marks. They interviewed them. They wanted to know, by what authority are you doing what you're doing? Join me at about verse 5. Chapter 4, verse 5. The next day, the council of all the rulers and the elders and the teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. And Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas and John and Alexander and other relatives of the high priest, and they brought in the two disciples. Imagine coming in before this august body. You know, brought in the two disciples, and they demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Well, that's a silly question to ask a couple of disciples who've already been out ministering in the street, and now they here they are ministering to a group of people that they might never get the opportunity to minister to. So Peter took full advantage of that. He says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, we're being questioned today because we have done a good deed for a crippled man. Do you want to know how he was healed? let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And now, here's the key to that whole story. Verse 13. And the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that these were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. And they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Been with Jesus. What a great picture. Wasn't their degrees. It wasn't their training. It wasn't even the fact that they had been born into a priestly lineage in Israel, and so therefore they got to minister that way. Rather, they had spent 3 years sitting at the feet of Jesus, walking the dusty roads of Israel with Jesus, watching miracles performed by Jesus, listening to Jesus teach about the difference between the Old Testament law and the message of the kingdom of God. How often do we read in the scriptures where it says, you have heard it said, but I'm telling you. And they got to sit there and listen to that and soak all of that in. They'd been with Jesus. And in the process of being with Jesus, the Holy Spirit was slowly transforming them from an uneducated, untrained group of men who often didn't even understand what Jesus was trying to tell them. How often do we read that after Jesus had been teaching the crowds and performed a healing and they got along with the disciples said, now what was that all about? What was it you were trying to tell them? Explain it to us. And so he would explain it to them again. Often they didn't understand. This was a group of men who, after 3 years of being with Jesus, after the crucifixion and the burial, they went home sorrowful because it was over. All of their hopes and dreams were gone. He was dead. And he had told them it was only a short-term death. They weren't used to that. He told them he'd be back. But they went home sorrowful. These were clearly not the kind of guys you'd want to build a world-changing movement on. And yet the Holy Spirit, in his amazing way, transformed them from the men that we read about to men who turned their world upside down for the kingdom of God because they had been with Jesus. Just what Jesus told them in the beginning, if you remain in me and I remain in you, just as I remain in the Father, you will produce fruit. And Jesus shares the same warning with us that he shared with his disciples. He said, if you ever try to live this Christian life apart from a vital, abiding relationship with me, it's not going to work. And he tells us the same thing to us. If you ever try to live this Christian life, if you ever try to be my witnesses without an abiding relationship with me, it's okay, Bill, got it. Without an abiding relationship with me, it's not going to work. And even though they might have tried to exert great effort, even though we might try to exert great effort, less than abiding in him will just result in barrenness and severe pruning and maybe a bonfire. Isaiah 30, verse 15 reminds us that we will find strength and confidence in our times of quietness, of abiding, remaining in Him. This week, during this season of social distancing, even during this time when we as a church fellowship are really cutting back on all of our activities for the health of the church, please pay special attention to abiding in the vine. Take this time to remain in Him. Take this time to be in His Word. Take this time to be in fellowship with Him and be in prayer with Him. Sense that life-giving flow of His indwelling Holy Spirit flowing from the vine into the branches. Take strength, not from great personal effort, but from abiding. In the words of Brother Lawrence, practice His presence daily. Practice His presence daily. Father, we're busy people. We have so many things that would like to demand our attention. But You come to us and You tell us that You demand the highest attention above all the other things in our lives. Individually, Lord, I pray that You would just draw us up close to You during this time. May we be in Your Word. May Your Word be in us. May Your Holy Spirit amplify that Word in our hearts and in our lives. Just as You amplified that 3 years that the disciples spent with You and changed them into men that changed their world. Father, You have great plans for us, but none of those plans are going to be effective if they're done in our own strength. Only as we abide in You, only as we remain in You. So, Father, it's my prayer that we might truly practice Your presence in abiding in You daily. We just ask this, Lord, in Your name today, and pray Your blessing upon each one of us, either both here and at home as we listen by way of Facebook. Amen. Amen. Go have a wonderful day and a wonderful week of abiding. Amen.